more quietly. I didn't want to put ideas into anyone's head.
Sound. Sometimes the best one can do about a weak point is not to call attention to it.
It seems so to me, sir, I added. But when I started worrying, I started trying to do something to protect the records. I instituted a policy of making dead storage duplicates of all processed data at the point they entered the archives. I had in mind copying the entire archives, then shipping them somewhere. But I had no funding or enough money of my own to pay for the memory cubes. They should be Welton fine grains, or they would be too bulky to ship.
When did you start copying new accessions?
Shortly after the trustees' meeting. I had expected Susan Barstow to be elected. When Arabelle Foote Hendrick got it, well, it disturbed me. Because of an incident years back when we were both on campus, I thought about resigning, but I had started work on your memoirs.
Justin, I think you kidded yourself about your reason for staying. You suspected that Arabelle might make an ad interim appointment other than your deputy.
That's impossible, sir.
But irrelevant. He used Welton's for this copying?
Oh, yes. I could squeeze funds for that much.
Where are they? Still in the homing pigeon?
I suppose I looked startled.
The senior said, "Come, come. They were important to you. Do you expect me to think that you left them light years away?"
Mr. Chairman, the cubes are in my baggage, still in Colony Leader Weatherall's office.
Alice Athene?
Back of the visitor's couch, Mr. Chairman. The Colony Leader told me to remind him to fetch home Mr. Foote's luggage.
Perhaps we can do better. Chief Archivist, if you will permit Pallas Athene to have the code to your bags, she has extensionals in Ira's office to copy those cubes at once. Then you can quit worrying. Pallas Athene already has the archives in her, up to the day I let Arabelle have the gavel back.
I know my face showed it. The senior chuckled and said,
"Why and how? Why, because you aren't the only one who feels that the family's records should be safeguarded. How? We stole them, son, we stole them. I had control of the executive computer and used it to copy the whole works. Genealogies, history, minutes of the family's meetings, everything. With an override program to keep your boss computer from knowing what I was doing. Right under your nose, Chief Archivist. But I kept it from you for your protection. I did not want Arabelle to get wind of it and quiz you. It would have given her ideas, and she had too many already. The only problem was to scrounge enough Welton cubes. But you are sitting on them right now, about 20 meters under your ass. And when Pallas Athene reads the ones in your luggage, the duplicate archives will be complete to the date you left Secundus. Feel better?"
I sighed. "Much better, Mr. Chairman. I can stay with a clear conscience. I now feel free to resign."
"Don't."
"Sir?"
"Stay here, yes, but don't resign. Your deputy is carrying on, and you trust her. Arabelle can't legally put in her own boy by ad interim appointment unless you do resign, since your appointment comes from the trustees. Not that legality would bother her, but again, let's not put ideas into her head. How many trustees on Secundus?"
"On Secundus, sir, or resident on Secundus?"
"Don't quibble, son."
"Mr. Chairman, I am not quibbling. There are 282 senior trustees. Of that number, 195 are resident on Secundus, the other 87 representing Howards on other planets. I put it as I did because it requires a two-thirds majority to pass a policy motion. Two-thirds of a quorum at a decennial meeting, or two-thirds of the total number, or 188 at an emergency meeting, unless every trustee everywhere has been notified, which can take years. I mention this because, were you to call an emergency meeting, it might be impossible to muster 188 votes necessary to recall Madam Chairman Pro Tem." The senior blinked at me.
"Mr. Archivist, what in Ned gave you the notion that I would call a trustees meeting, or would attempt to recall our dear sister Arabelle?"
Your question seemed to be leading toward that, sir. And I remember an occasion on which you took back the gavel?
Entirely different. My motives then were selfish. The old biddy was about to spoil my plans by grabbing Ira. The circumstances were quite different, meaning I could get away with it, which I can't today. Son, despite what the records show, Arabelle didn't give up that gavel willingly. I grabbed it from her. Then the short time it took us to finish up and leave, I kept her prisoner.
Really? Mr. Chairman?
She doesn't seem to harbor resentment, and she speaks of you in the highest terms. The senior grinned his lazy, cynical grin.
That's because we're both pragmatists. I was careful to save her face and made sure she knew it. And now she has nothing to gain by running me down. And something to lose because I've acquired a semi-sacred status.
Her status depends in part on mine, and she knows it. Just the same, well, if I ever find myself on the same planet with her, unlikely, I'm no fool, I shall be very careful going through doors and such. I'll tell you how it worked, and you'll see why I can't do it twice. Once Ira handed her the gavel, he moved out of the palace. Proper. But until we left, I continued to live in the penthouse on top of the palace. Also proper. The palace is my official residence. Because I was still there, Minerva was still hooked in. In consequence, she was able to warn me when Arabelle's busies grabbed Ira. I came out of a sound sleep and grabbed the gavel.
Lazarus frowned.
A planet-wide executive computer is a menace, Justin. When there was Minerva with Ira giving orders, it worked fine. But see what I did with it, and extrapolate what someone else might do with one. Arabelle, for instance. Tina, give Justin a sample of Arabelle's voice.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Chief Archivist Foote, this is Chairwoman Pro Tem.
I have the honor to announce that I have been able to persuade our distinguished ancestor, Lazarus Long, permanent chairman of the Howard families, to assume for us the titular leadership of the families during the regrettably short period remaining until he again embarks for a new world. Please give this announcement full distribution among your subordinates. I will continue to handle routine details, but the chairman wants you to feel free to consult him at any time.
Speaking for the trustees and for the chairman, this is Arabelle Foote Hendrick, chairwoman pro tem of the Howard families.
Why, that's exactly what she said to me.
Yep. Minerva did a good job. She got just the right pomposity into the phrasing, as well as getting Arabelle's voice down pat, even to that sniff she uses for punctuation.
That wasn't Arabelle? I had no slightest suspicion.
Justin, when that message went to you, and one like it to everyone important enough to rate it, Arabelle was in the biggest, fanciest apartment in the palace, and very annoyed that doors wouldn't open, and transport wouldn't come, and none of the communication arrangements would work, except when I wanted to talk to her. Shucks, I didn't even let her have a cup of coffee until she got her feathers down and conceded that I was chairman and running things. After that, we got along pretty well. Even became somewhat chummy. I did everything for her but turn her loose. She took over the routine. I didn't want to be bothered, which was safe, as Minerva would have chopped her off if she got out of line and she knew it. She and I even appeared together on a newscast the morning I left, and Arabelle spoke her piece like a lady, and my public thanks to her were just as sincerely insincere.
Lazarus Long continued,
"But now she has the executive computer, and if I went back, I'd throw my hat in first. No, Justin, I was not asking about the trustees on Secundus with any intention of calling a meeting. Instead, I was thinking that any 20 trustees can call an emergency meeting, and hoping that they would see it as you do, futile, and not try. She might grab them and ship them to Felicity. Or if she has the nerve, I think she has, she might let them hold their meeting. Then if it went against her, ship all the trustees who show up off to Felicity. But I guarantee she won't quit without a fight. I caught her with her pants down. She won't be caught twice."
"Then it means a bloodbath."
"It may be the only way out, but you and I can't help the situation. In all matters of government, the correct answer is usually do nothing. This is such a time to exercise creative inaction. Sit tight, wait."
"Even when you know things are going wrong?"
"Even when you know it, Justin. The itch to be a world saver should not be scratched. It rarely does any good and can drastically shorten your life. I see three major possibilities. Arabelle may be assassinated. The trustees will then elect another chairman pro tem, hopefully one with sense. Or she may last till the next 10-year meeting, whereupon the trustees may exercise some sense. Or she may get smart, not expose herself to assassination, while consolidating her power so strongly that it will take a revolution to get rid of her. I regard the last as least likely. Assassination is the most likely, and none of it our business here on Tertius. There are 1 billion people on Secundus. Let them handle it. You and I have saved the archives, and that's good. The families maintain their continuity. In a few years, we'll import equipment for you, or your successor, to set up the sort of computerized deal you have on Secundus. Athena can keep data in storage until we're set up. Meanwhile, I'll let a message echo around the inhabited planets that the archives are here too. I'll also announce that this is an alternate family's seat where the trustees are welcome to meet. The computer said, "Mr. Chairman, Mr. Jones has asked if I know when you will be ready for lunch. Please tell him we will be there in a moment. No hurry on any of this, Justin. If you're patient, problems tend to solve themselves. And patient is all one can be when it takes years to pass a message around even among the more thickly settled planets. So wait 100 years. One private message for you. You're one of us now. A member of this family and a father to our kids? Yes, I want to be. You want it formal? All right. Here's a short one, binding. And later, you can have any ritual you want. Justin, are you our brother? Till the stars grow old and our sun grows cold, will you fight for us, lie for us, love us, and let us love you? I will. That does it. Athene has it on record. Open record. Athene. Recorded, Lazarus. Welcome to the family, Justin. Thank you, Athene. The private message is thus, Justin. Tamara asked me to tell you, if you married us, that she is going to ask Ishtar to cancel her immunity to impregnation. She did not say that this was exclusively for you. On the contrary, she told me that she hopes to have children by each of us as quickly as possible. Then she would at last feel fully in the family. Nevertheless, I am certain that her decision was triggered by your arrival, so the rest of us will hang back and cheer while you plant the first one. Our Tammy will like that. My eyes suddenly filled with tears, but I kept my voice steady. Lazarus, I don't think that's what Tamara wants. I think she just wants to be fully a member of the family, and so do I. Well, perhaps so. In any case, Ishtar keeps the genetic answers to herself. Maybe we'll line up all the gals and see what a new rooster can do. End of restricted conference, Tina. Sure thing, buddy boy. And 100 years from now, you can line up all the men for me. Bet you I can whip them. You probably can, dear. Variations on a theme, 16. Eros. Minerva said, "Lazarus, will you walk with me outside?" "I will if you smile." She smiled briefly. "None of us feels much like smiling today, but I'll try." "Confound it, dear, you know I won't be gone any time to speak of by this framework. Just like the calibrating hop the twins and I made." "Yes, dear. Shall we go?" He patted her little skirt. "Thought so. Where's your gun?" "Must I wear it? When you are with me? I will wear it without fail while you are gone." "Well, bad precedent. All right." They paused in the foyer. Minerva said, "Athene, dear, please tell Tamara I'll be back in time to help with dinner." "Sure thing, sis. Hold it. Tamara girl says she doesn't need help, so don't hurry." "Thanks, sister. And thank Tammy for me." They left the house, started up a gentle hill. Presently, she said, "Tomorrow." "Tomorrow," Lazarus repeated. "But don't make it sound like a dirge. I told you all that while this trip will be 10 T years elapsed time for me, It'll be, at most, a few weeks for you at home, and even less for the twins. What is there to get solemn over?
Instead of answering, she said,
Twins, what is there to get solemn over?
Instead of answering, she said,
How long will I live?
Eh? Minerva, what sort of question is that? Not too long if you neglect ordinary precautions such as going armed and staying alert. If you mean your life expectancy, well, if the geneticists know what they are talking about, you have exactly the expectancy I was born with. It doesn't matter that I'm a freak. I pass it on to you. But even if they are mistaken about that gene complex and the 12th chromosome pair, there is no possible doubt that you are a Howard in every gene. So you're good for a couple of centuries without trying. But with a willingness to undergo rejuve every time you reach menopause, I couldn't guess how long you will last. They learn more about it every year. As long as you want to live, probably. How long is that?
I don't know, Lazarus.
Then what's eating you, dear? Sorry you gave up being a computer for vulnerable flesh and blood?
Oh, no.
Then she added,
But sometimes it hurts.
Yes, sometimes it does.
Lazarus, if you are certain you are coming back, why did you reorient Dora so that her affection is fixed on Lori and Lazzie rather than on you?
Is that all that's troubling you? A routine precaution, that's all. Why did Ira make a new will when we set up our family? Why do we all have wills in place in Tina? My sisters will own the Dora presently no matter what. They already run it. If anything did happen to me, do you remember something you said years ago? You told Ira that you would self-destroy rather than serve another master.
Is it likely that I would fail to carry over such a memory? That day led to this, by inevitable concatenation. Lazarus, I left behind much of my memories, but I traced and retraced in this Minerva every conversation that Minerva ever shared with you. Every word.
Then you know why I won't risk hurting a computer who thinks she's a little girl. And why I don't dare risk an emotional malfunction in a piloting computer somewhere out between the stars when my sisters' lives depend on that computer. Minerva, I would have bonded Dora to Lori and Lazzie just on Dora's account. She needs to love and be loved. But if I had neglected to do it as a safety precaution for the twins, well, a man who refuses to take his own death into account in making plans is a fool. A self-centered fool who does not love anyone.
You are not that, Lazarus. You have never been that.
Oh, yes, I have. It took me endless years to learn.
Again, she let time pass before she spoke.
Lazarus, I have often wondered about Yida.
About Yida, huh?
And about her, even more than about Yida. Do I really look like her?
He stopped and stared at her. They were near the top of the hill now, out of sight of the house.
I don't know. How can I know? 1,000 years? Memories fade and blend. I think you look like her. Yes, you do.
Is that why you can't love me? Did I make a terrible mistake in wanting to look like her?
But darling, I do love you.
You do? Lazarus, you have never shared this boon with me.
Suddenly she unwrapped the little skirt, dropped it on the grass.
Look at me, Lazarus. Am I not she? For your sake, I wish I could be she. But I am not. And I was a computer then and didn't know any better. I did not mean to hurt you. I did not mean to raise ghosts in your mind. Can you forgive me this?
Minerva, stop, darling. There is nothing to forgive.
Time is short. You are leaving. Can you truly forgive me? Will you put your child into me before you go?
Her eyes were welling tears, but she stared at him steadily.
I want your child, Lazarus. I will not ask twice. But I could not let you leave without asking. In my ignorance, I made myself look like her, because you loved her. But you could close your eyes.
Beloved?
Yes, Lazarus?
Does Ira close his eyes? Refuse to see you?
No.
Does Justin, or Galahad? If you can stand my homely face, I surely can stand your lovely one. And with any luck, she'll look more like you than me. Let's go back to the house.
Her face lit up. What's wrong with this little stand of trees?
Yes. Now. Variations on a theme, 17. Narcissus. Let's run over it again, girls, said Lazarus. Both the time markers and the rendezvous landmarks. Dora, can you see the globe?
I can if you'll keep your hands out of the way, old buddy boy.
Sorry, dear. Call me Lazarus. I'm not your brother.
When Lazzie and Lori made me their adopted sister, you got in free. Logical?
Logical.
Don't fight it, buddy. You like it.
Okay, I like it, Sister Dora, agreed Lazarus. Now shut up and let me talk.
Aye, aye, Commodore, the pilot computer answered. But I've got it all on Tell Me Three Times. Not that I need those clumsy time markers. I'm calibrated, buddy, calibrated.
Dora, assume that something happens to that calibration.
Can't. One bank goes out of whack, I fall back on Tell Me Twice. Well, I wipe that bank and restore it.
So, you've been euphoric ever since the twins adopted you. I taught you to be a pessimist, Dora. A pilot who is not a pessimist isn't worth a hoot.
I'm sorry, Commodore. I'll shut up.
Speak up if you have anything to say. But not to disparage safety precautions. It's my own precious skin I'm trying to protect, Dora, so please help me out. I can think of a dozen ways your gizzards could be damaged, either by error or by natural catastrophe, and so can you, but there is no point in worrying. But there is point in trying to anticipate what can be done about it. Take a case in which you are working perfectly, but the twins can't use you. By schedule, after you drop me, you all go back to base time framework and to New Rome, and the twins inquire for delay mail at the archives. Who knows? There may be some waiting there right now.
Brother, put in Lorelei, now doesn't mean anything. We've been in a relevant phase ever since we lifted off.
Don't quibble, dear. The now I mean is 2072 Diaspora, or 4291 Gregorian, your adulthood year, if it is.
Laz, did you hear that?
You asked for it, Lore. Pipe down and let Brother talk.
The trouble is with the words themselves, Lorelei. You gals, you three gals, might spend part of the reach to Earth in inventing new language and appropriate syntax for space-time travel. With this imaginary case, you ground on Secundus, go to the archives, and ask if any delay mail has been unsealed that has your name on it, or Justin's, or Ira's, or even addressed to me as Lazarus Long, or as Woodrow Wilson Smith. I may try several ways, as I'll be attempting it from now, some centuries before delay mail became a routine way to preserve papers. So you pick up whatever there is and go back to the Dora and find her lock sealed and a sheriff guarding it, confiscated.
What?
Dora, please don't yell in my ear. This is a hypothetical case.
That sheriff had better be able to shoot straight,
Lapis Lazuli said grimly.
Her brother answered, Lazzie, you've heard me say 9,019 times that we do not carry weapons to give us Dutch courage. If a gun makes you feel 3 meters tall and invulnerable, you'd better go unarmed and let your sister do any shooting that's necessary. Now tell me why you don't shoot at the sheriff.
Yes, said Dora. I want to be rescued.
Quiet, Dora. Laz?
We don't shoot cops, ever.
Not quite. We don't shoot cops if there is any way to avoid it. Safer to kiss a rattlesnake. In 2,000 years and some, I've always found a way to avoid it. Although I did shoot kind of close to one, once, to divert his attention. Unique circumstances. But in this hypothetical case, shooting one cop is worse than useless. The chairman pro tem has confiscated your ship.
Help, Dora whispered. Why, Madam Barstow would never do anything that nasty. I didn't say it was Susan Barstow. But Arabelle, had she lasted, would have enjoyed pulling that sort of stunt on the Longs. Let's say Susan has dropped dead, and the new CPT is as bad as Arabelle. No ship and no assets. What do you do? Remember, I'm depending on you, or I'm stuck back in the Dark Ages. What do you do? When in danger of doubt, run in circles, scream and shout, recited Dora. Oh, stop it, Dora, said Lapis Lazuli. We don't panic, that's certain. We have 10 years in which to figure out a... Hey, wait a moment. I'm using the wrong framework. We could take 100 years if necessary, or longer. 100 years is plenty, said Lorelei. In less time than that, we could steal another ship. Think big, advised Lazarus. Steal the Pleiades. Far better not to steal anything, Lore. You stole a starship once, because there was no time to do anything else. But with plenty of time at your disposal, it's better to be reasonably honest. Not break rules you can get caught breaking. Money is the universal weapon. To acquire it merely takes time and ingenuity, and sometimes work. Raise enough money, and you might be able to buy the Dora back. If that's impossible, with much less money, you could get to Tertius, where Ira and the family could find some way to lay hands on a starship. Then you could program it with the stuff Dora left in Athene, and come get me. Isn't anybody going to come rescue me? Dora, dear, this hasn't happened, and it's extremely unlikely to happen. But if it did, and the twins were able to rescue you, so that your new owner has you halfway across the galaxy... I'll crash him the first time he tries to land. Dora, stop being a nitwit. If we ever did lose you, most unlikely, and the twins cannot rescue you but could rescue me, then if you've taken care of yourself, no crash landing or any other foolishness, we'll find you. We'll get you back. All three of us, no matter how many years it takes. Laz, Lori. You bet. One for all for one. And it's not just us four, Dora. It's the whole family. All the adults. All 9 kids. Might be more by then. And Athene. Brother, when I removed that we all take the last name of Long, I liked it so much I couldn't cry hard enough. Sis, you're Dora Long, and the Longs don't let each other down. I feel better. The computer admitted with a sniffle. You never had anything to feel bad about, Dora, Lazarus continued. You started this by insisting that my precautions were unnecessary, so I dreamed up a situation in which they would be necessary, especially so if the twins could not get at the programs you left with Athene, in which case they might have to fall back on time markers and recalibrate. So I had them stuck on another planet and flat broke. So the first problem is to lay hands on money. Think you could do it, girls, in 100 years, without being caught in something that would put you in still more of a jam? The twins glanced at each other. Lore? Of course, Laz. Brother, that's when we open our hook shop over a pool hall, or somewhere. Lazarus said, I don't think you two have the true vocation, and your noses are regrettably like mine, homely, that is. Our noses are an asset. Because they do make us look like you. So what is common gossip by now, but unbelievable, becomes quite believable once a client gets a look at us. And aside from noses, we look pretty good. Built like brick outhouses, you told us. And natural redheads, which Tammy says is cash in the bank. And looking just alike, but we can give them variety. Just by one of us not using a depilatory. Which will make us a great sister act at very high prices. Maggie said so. And if you think being horny isn't true enough vocation, which may be true and we can see that we'll never be the great artist Tammy is, nevertheless, New Rome is going to be amazed at how intense our vocation is when our brother's safety is at stake. Lazarus took a deep breath. Thank you, darlings. Well, you'll probably take a fling at it someday. I hope that you won't need to do it to rescue me. I'm counting more on your mathematical ability and your skill as ship handlers than I am on your undeniable physical and spiritual beauty. Did you hear that, Lore? That time he added spiritual. I think he meant it. I hope so. It's even nicer than being told we have tits as pretty as Minerva's, which we don't, quite.
Yes, you do,
their brother said absently. Let's get back to landmarks and such. I think you ought to kiss them, said Dora.
Later. Now.
I think you ought to kiss them, said Dora.
Later. Now look, kids, prime rendezvous, exactly 10 T years after you drop me, although you drop Andy's body first.
How?
Laz or Lure, not Dora. Of course, you know all this, Dora. This review is for flesh and bloods. Fallible. Laz?
Have Dora unfreeze him and bring his body up almost to cremation temperature and put him into atmosphere on a long slant just under orbital speed so that it will burn up, or almost, before it hits. And figure the ballistic to hit the mountains in case he's not quite burned up, because we don't want to hurt anybody.
What mountains and how do you find them? Lore?
These right here. Prime landmark. This big river that drains the Central Valley. Where this other big river comes in from the west is our north landmark. The gulf they wind up in is the south landmark. No landmark on the west. Arkansas is about the middle of that bracket. The Ozark Mountains are the only mountains in the bracket, but shoot for the south side of the mountains. This escarpment. The north side is not Arkansas. Brother, why does that matter?
Sentiment, Lorelei. As far as Andy traveled and as little time as he spent on Earth, he was always homesick for his boring place. The only song he knew was one with a refrain of, Arkansas, Arkansas, I adore thee. I used to get sick of it, but I promised him I would take his body back to Arkansas, and it seemed to comfort him when he died, so we'll do it. Who knows? Maybe the sweet little guy will know it, and it's worth the trouble to carry out his last wishes. Prime rendezvous landmarks?
This big canyon, answered Lapis Lazuli. Follow it to the east and drop south. This round black dot, a meteor impact crater. No dependable landmarks visible from orbit, and good any century but this canyon, biggest on Earth. So we analyze the spatial relationship between canyon and crater so that we can spot it from any angle, if the light is right. Dora said, I'm sure I can see it in pitch darkness.
Dora, honey, this drill is based on the pessimistic assumption that Ellendale might have to find it without your help. I want them to know the geography of Terra so well that they won't have to ground and look for a road sign. No close approaches to the ground at all, except to put me down and pick me up. I don't want to start a flying saucer scare. I don't want to attract any attention. Some yokel might take a shot at me. It's unfortunate that this ship is shaped such that flying saucer isn't too bad a description.
What's the matter with the way I look? Demanded Dora. I look pretty damn good.
Dear, you're built like a brick outhouse for a starship. You're beautiful. It's simply that unidentified flying objects, UFOs, were also called flying saucers. I don't believe in paradoxes, but I don't want any attention.
Brother, maybe we are one of those UFOs you told us about.
Huh? Yeah, could be, I suppose. If so, let's not get shot at. I want a quiet trip. If everything goes well, we could talk about letting one of you get on the ground with me next trip. Though darned if I don't think a stacked redhead is more conspicuous than an unidentified flying object. Okay, the crater. I intend to be there before sundown and after sunrise, from -10 days to +10 days, at +10 years. If I'm not there, what do you do?
Lapis Lazuli answered. Look for you half a 2 year later on top of the biggest pyramid at Giza. That's here, at midnight. Only this time we scan for you -30 days through +30 because you aren't certain when you can get there and may be able to manage it only once, brides and things. Brother, do we go out half a light year and re-enter the time axis or stay in orbit and wait?
That's up to you. I won't use the Egyptian rendezvous unless I've pulled some goof that makes it unhealthy for me to meet you in Arizona. If I miss both dates, what do you do?
Loy? Look for you again both places at 11 years and 11 and a half years.
Then what?
Lorelei glanced at her sister. Brother, this part we don't go along with. And that goes for Dora, too.
It sure does.
Because we won't assume that you're dead, no matter how many times you miss rendezvous. So we start checking both spots day after day, and night after night. And over 9 hours local time difference means some weird partial orbits to check sunrise and sundown in Arizona, and still check midnights in Egypt. But Dora can do it.
You bet I can.
And we'll keep looking for you day after day, and year after year, until you do show up, sir.
Captain Lorelei, if I miss four rendezvous dates, I'm dead. You must assume that. Shall I put it in writing?
Commodore Long, if you're dead, you can't give orders. That's logical.
If you assume that I'm not dead, then my orders still apply. And you must give up the search, by the same logic.
Sir, if you're out of the ship and out of touch, then you are hardly in a position to give any orders. But if you want to be picked up, there will be daily service from drop time plus 11 1/2 T-years on. And on and on and on, because that's what we promised the family. Even though we'll have to run home occasionally for rejuvenation and to have babies. But neither of those will take any time in that time framework, as you pointed out in another connection.
Mutiny.
The twins glanced at each other. I'll take it, Laz. I have to. Odd-numbered day. Commodore, you taught us before you ever let either of us take command in space. A Commodore is actually a passenger because a ship's master cannot give up even a little bit of her total responsibility. So mutiny is not a word that can apply.
Lazarus sighed. I've raised a couple of blinking space lawyers.
Brother, that's what you taught us. You did.
Okay. I did. You win the argument, but it's silly to talk about checking every day for year after year indefinitely. I've never seen a prison I couldn't escape from in less than a year. And I've been in quite a number. Maybe I should cancel the whole caper. No, I won't argue it. Now, about time markers. If something forces you to recalibrate, simple enough to ground and find out the exact Gregorian date. But that's exactly what I don't want you to do, because neither of you has any experience in coping with strange cultures, and you would get in trouble, and I wouldn't be around to get you out.
Brother, do you think we are that stupid?
No, Laz, I do not think you are stupid. You each have exactly the brain potential I started with, and I'm not stupid, or I would not have lived so long. Furthermore, you each have enormously better educations than I had at your age. But, darlings, these are the dark ages we're talking about. You two have been brought up to expect rational treatment, which you wouldn't receive. I don't dare let you put foot to ground in that era, even with me at your side, until after I have coached you endlessly in how to be consistently irrational in what you do and say, truly.
Lazarus continued.
Never mind, you have two ways to read the clock from space. One is the Libby method, tedious but workable, by reading positions of the solar system's planets. The trouble with that one is that unless you spend one devilish long time on difficult observations, you can mistake a configuration for one almost like it, but several thousand years earlier or later. So we use what time marks we can find on the surface of Terra herself. The radioactive dating of that impact crater is probably close, but in any case, if the crater is missing, you're too early by some centuries. The dates for the building of the Great Wall of China are quite good. Same for the Egyptian pyramids. The dates for the Suez Canal and the Panama Canal are exact. So, unfortunately, is the date of the destruction of Europe. But don't try to watch it. Keep your screens up and get out fast. That is a year when a strange spaceship would be shot out of the sky if you were careless enough to be vulnerable. In fact, if any time marker on this list shows that you are later than 1940 Gregorian, get out at once and shoot for an earlier date. That's enough for now. It's getting toward bedtime by my sort of time. Irrelevant though it may be to anything outside this ship, I want you to study all this stuff until you can recite it in your sleep. Dates and what to look for and how to find it, even if you don't have a Terra globe to look at. Anybody thinks you can beat me at crib? Don't all speak at once.
I can, said Dora, if you promise not to cheat on the shuffle. Later, Dora, said Captain Lorelei. Now we tell him.
Oh, all right. I'll be very quiet.
Tell me what? Demanded Lazarus.
That it's time for you to impregnate us, Lazarus.
Both of us, agreed Lapis Lazuli. Lazarus counted 10 chimpanzees in his mind. Then 10 more.
Absolutely out of the question.
They glanced at each other. Lorelei said, We knew you would say that, but the only question is whether you do it sweet and friendly-like, or we tell Ish you said no and she does it for us, your sperm from the sperm bank. But we'd be much happier if our beloved brother, who has always been good to us, but is now going to go get his ass shot off in the Dark Ages, were to drop his silly prejudices just once and treat us as biologically mature females, instead of the children we used to be. Ira and Galahad and Justin don't treat us as children, but you do, and it's not just humiliating, it's downright heartbreaking when we may never see you again. When you don't make any real fuss about knocking up Minerva, not to mention Tammy and Hammerdarling and Ish and...
Stop it!
They stopped.
I concede a remote possibility with respect to three of them, although mathematically most unlikely.
Lorelei said quietly, Mathematically extremely high, Lazarus, because we were all in on it. Justin and Ira and Galahad hung back at the right times, just the way they ensured that Minerva's first baby was Ira's, and Tammy's first was Justin's. But if it did not work out, for anyone of four, not three, then Ishtar will correct it from the sperm bank.
I'm not in the sperm bank.
The girls exchanged glances. Lapis Lazuli said, Wanna bet? The computer said,
It's a sucker bet, buddy.
Lazarus looked thoughtful.
Unless Ishtar tricked me almost 20 years back, when I was her rejuve client.
Lorelei said quietly, I suppose she could have, Lazarus, but she did not, that I know of. And this is fresh sperm, frozen not more than a year ago, any of it, after the day you announced a date for this trip?
Impossible.
Better not say impossible. What is the perfect container for keeping sperm fresh and alive until a technician can bank it? Lazarus looked very thoughtful.
Well, I'll be damned.
Correct, brother. Place a woman around it. You're being oh so careful to pick your bedmates by their cycles so that you wouldn't leave any babies behind. And they were being oh so careful to see Ish or Galahad as soon as you fell asleep, as well as fudging calendars, too. The point is, beloved brother of ours, you don't own Eugene's. Nobody does. We've heard you say so in discussing how Minerva was constructed. Genes belong to the race. They're simply lent to the individual for his or her lifetime. And all of us, knowing you were going to try this reckless thing, decided that while you were free to throw away your life, you weren't free to waste a unique gene pattern. Lazarus changed the subject.
Why did you say four?
Lorelei answered. Brother, are you ashamed of Minerva? I do not believe it, nor does Laz.
Huh? No, I'm not ashamed of her. I'm proud of her. Damn it. You two have always been able to get me mixed up. I simply did not know that she had told anyone. I have not.
The other twin said, Who would she turn to but us?
You mean to whom would she turn?
Damn it, brother, this is a hell of a time to be correcting our grammar. Minerva turned to us for advice and comfort, because we're in the same difficult position with respect to you that she is. That she was, I mean. For she came out of the bushes, looking as smug as a cat. You made her happy. When she had been crying her eyes out. And she'll stay happy now, even if she missed catching. Because once is enough for a symbol, and if she missed, Ish will fix it. And of course we knew about it when you finally quit dithering and did what you should have done for her years ago. Because we helped rig it, so that she could get you alone and twist your arm. I told her that if tears weren't enough, to chuck in some chin quivering. And it worked, and she's happy. And we're not so damned happy. Not at all. But we won't cry at you. Or quiver our chins. That's childish. If you won't do it simply because you love us, then the hell with it, and we probably won't even fall back on the sperm bank. Instead, it might be better to have Ish sterilize us. Permanently. Not just offset fertility temporarily. And quit being females, since we're failures at it. Stop it. Probably won't even fall back on the sperm bank. Instead, it might be better to have Ish sterilize us. Permanently. Not just offset fertility temporarily. And quit being females, since we're failures at it. Stop it. If you're not going to cry at me, what are all those tears for? Lapis Lazuli said with quiet dignity, "Those aren't weeping tears, brother. They come from sheer exasperation. Come on, Lore. We've swung and we've missed. Let's go to bed." "Coming, sister. If the Commodore will excuse us."
"He damn well won't. Sit back down. Girls, can we talk about this quietly without you two whips on me?"
The two young women sat back down. Captain Lorelei glanced at her sister and said, "Laz agrees, and I will speak for both us. No whipsawing." Lazarus said thoughtfully,
"Do you two run your brains in tandem or in parallel?"
"We do not think that is relevant to the discussion."
"Just scientific interest. If you could teach me how to do it, we three might make quite a team."
"That can only be conjectural, Lazarus, since you reject us."
"Damn it, girls, I have not rejected you. I will never reject you."
They said nothing. He went on, uncomfortably.
"There are two aspects to this. One is genetic, the other is emotional. Genetic. We three are a weird case, male and female, yet quasi-identicals. More than quasi, 45, 46th to be exact, which makes the probability of bad reinforcement far greater than it is for ordinary siblings. Besides that, we are Howards only by courtesy, as our genes have not undergone some 24 centuries of systematic culling. I'm so close to the head of the column that there is no culling at all. My four grandparents were among the first selectees, so when I was born in Grigori in 1912, I had behind me no inbreeding, no culling out, no cleaning of the gene pool. And you dears are in the same predicament, as even that 46th chromosome comes from me, since it replicates my 45th. Yet you two seem willing to accept this high risk of reinforcement."
He paused. There was no comment. He shrugged and went on.
"The emotional objection comes only from me. You two don't seem to have it. Reasonable, I suppose, since the concept is based on, from the Old Testament, has been replaced by the concept of following the advice of family's geneticists. I'm not arguing with the wisdom of that. I agree with it, since they say no to a couple of unrelated strangers just as readily as to siblings if the gene charts give no as the answer. But I was talking about feelings, not science. I don't suppose any but scholars read the Old Testament anymore, but the culture I was brought up in was soaked in its attitudes. Bible Belt, you've heard me call it that. Girls, it is hard to shake off any taboos a child is indoctrinated with in his earliest years, even if he learns later that they are nonsense. I try to do better with you two. I've had time enough to sort out my taboos and my prejudices from what I really know. And I tried. I tried very hard not to inflict on you two any of the irrational nonsense that was fed to me under the pretext of educating me. Apparently I succeeded, or we would never have reached this impasse. But there it is. You two are modern young women. But, though we share the same genes, I'm an old savage from a very murky time."
He sighed.
"I'm sorry."
Lorelei looked at her sister. They both stood up. "Sir, may we be excused?"
"Huh? No rebuttal?"
"Sir, an emotional argument permits no refutation. As for the rest, Why should we weary you with arguments when your mind is made up?
Well, perhaps you're right. But you listened courteously to me. I want to pay you the same respect.
It is not necessary, sir. Her eyes and those of her sister were welling with tears. They ignored them. We are sure of your respect and, in your way, of your love. May we go? Before Lazarus could answer, the computer spoke up.
Hey! I want a piece of this!
Dora! Lorelai rebuked.
Don't give me that lore. I'm not going to stay politely quiet while my family makes fools of themselves. Buddy boy, Laura didn't tell you about the whammy they considered pulling on you, and that I still can, and will.
Dora, we don't want that sort of help. Laz and I agreed on that.
So you did, but you didn't ask me to vote on it, and I'm no lady and never was. Buddy old boy, you know it makes no difference to me who does what to whom. I couldn't care less, except that it's so funny to hear him squeal and grunt. But you're being mean to my sisters. Laura and Laz talked over the fact that you can't make this trip without their help, and they rejected that gambit as being beneath their dignity, or some such twaddle. But I don't have any dignity. Without my help, nobody makes a time trip. Shucks, if I go on strike, you can't even get back to Tertius. Now can you?
Lazarus looked wryly surprised, then grinned.
Mutiny again. Dorable, I concede your point. You can keep us out here, wherever here is, until we starve. I suspected centuries back that a flesh and blood might someday find himself in just such a helpless position. But, dear, I won't let your threats affect my decision. You can keep me from time-tripping, but I doubt if you will let Laura and Laz starve. You'll take them home.
Oh, hell, Pappy, you're being mean again.
You're a real willing son of a bitch, do you know it?
Guilty on both counts, Nora.
Lazarus admitted.
And Laura and Laz are being stupidly bullheaded. Laura, he politely offered you a chance to speak your piece, and you turned him down, stubborn bitch.
Dora, behave yourself.
What for? When you three don't? Blow your noses and sit down and give Buddy the straight tell. He's entitled to it.
Perhaps you'd better,
Lazarus said gently.
Sit down, girls, and talk with me.
Dora, keep her steady between the hose pipes, baby girl, and we'll get her into port yet.
Aye, aye, Commodore, but you get those two silly bitches straightened out, huh?
I'll try. Who's a spokesman this time, Laz?
It doesn't matter, answered Lapis Lazuli. I'll talk for us.
Don't worry about Dora. When she realizes that we are content to accept your decision, she'll stop being difficult.
Oh, you think so, do you? Shape up, Laz, or we'll be back in Boondock faster than you can say Libby pseudo-infinities.
Please, Dora, let me tell Brother.
Just be sure you tell him everything, or I'll tell him about things that went on in here for a year before he said you were old enough.
Lazarus blinked and looked interested.
Well, well, did you kids steal a march on me?
Well, Mama Ishtar told us we were old enough. You're the one being stuffy about it.
Stipulated. Someday I must tell you about something that happened to me at an early age in a church belfry.
I'm sure we'd like to hear it, Brother, but do you want to hear us now?
Yes, Dora and I will keep quiet.
Let me say in preface that we are not going to ask Ishtar to thwart your wishes by using the sperm bank. But there are other possibilities to which you can hardly object. Consider how we were born. I could easily bear an implanted clone from my own tissue, and so could Lore, although we might swap clones for reasons purely sentimental since we have identical genes. Do you see anything wrong with that, genetically or emotionally or otherwise?
No. Unusual, but, your business.
Just as easy, since Ishtar still has living tissue of yours in vitro, is to clone you. And Lorelai and I would be identical twins, both of them Lazarus long in every gene, lacking only your long experience. Would you find that offensive?
Eh? Now wait a minute, let me think.
Let me add that we regard this as a last resort, If you are dead. If you don't come back.
Don't start sniffling again. If I'm dead, I don't have much of a vote in it, do I?
No, because if we did not do it, then Ishtar would plant your clone and one of the others, or in herself, with Galahad's help. But if Lorelei Lee and I do it, we would much rather do it with your blessing.
Stipulated that I'm dead. Well, okay. Okay, it's with my blessing. Just one thing.
What, brother?
Crack down on the little beast. Or beasts. I was a mean one. You two were handful enough for six, but I was ornery. If you don't establish who's boss right from the cradle, I will give you so much grief your lives won't be worth living.
We'll try to cope with you, Lazarus. And we have the advantage of knowing what a real whirling son of a bitch you can be. Ouch. Am I bleeding? You led with your chin, brother. The truth is, you spoiled us. And we may find it hard not to spoil you. But we'll bear in mind your advice. But we want to say this before we leave the subject of genetics. You've had how many children? Too many, maybe. You know exactly how many, and so do we. And it's a number large enough to be inspected as a statistical universe. How many were defectives? None that I know of. Exactly. None. Ishtar made it her business to know, and Justin confirms it from his study of the archives. Brother, I don't know how uncommon this may have been in the 20th Gregorian century, but you have a clean gene chart, and so, of course, do we. Now, wait a minute. I'm not really up to date in genetics, but Ishtar is. Do you want to argue it with her? We accept her assurances. Laura and I aren't geneticists, as yet. But we have, recorded in Dora, Ishtar's formal report on your gene chart, if you want it. Not that we think it makes any difference. You are rejecting us for reasons having nothing to do with genetics. Now slow down. I am not rejecting you. That's the way it feels to us. We are artificial constructs. And the soi-disant incest mores of another time and utterly different circumstances don't apply to us, and you know it. That's just an excuse to avoid something you don't want to do. Coupling with us might be masturbation, but it can't be incest because we aren't your sisters. We aren't your kin in any normal sense. We're you. Every gene of us comes from you. If we love you, and we do, and if you love us, and you do, some, in your own chintzy and cautious fashion, it's Narcissus loving himself. But this time, if you could only see it, that Narcissus love could be consummated. She stopped and gulped. That's all. Come on, Lore, let's go to bed. Hold it, girls. Laz, Ishtar says this is safe. You heard me say so, but you don't want to do it, so the hell with it. I never at any time said that I did not want to. Why do you think I quit cuddling you two lively little monkeys when you started being grown up? Oh, buddy. Because I must be Narcissus himself. Because I think my two identicals are the prettiest, sexiest, and bitchiest broads I've ever seen.
Do you? Do you really?
You heard me. Quit quivering your goddamn chins. So when you started getting broad, I started keeping my hands off you. But if Ishtar says it's all right...
She does.
I suppose this once I could manage a couple of minutes for each of you. Lorelei gasped.
Did you hear that, Laz?
I heard it.
2 minutes.
Rude, crude, and vulgar.
Insulting.
Infuriating. But we accept. Right now.
Da Capo. 1. The Green Hills. The star yacht Dora hovered 2 meters over the pasture. The lower hatch irised open. Lazarus gave Lazzie and Lori a last quick squeeze and dropped to the ground,
rolled with the impact, rolled to his feet. Hurriedly got clear of the ship's field. He waved and the ship lifted, straight up, a round black cloud against the stars. Then was gone. He looked quickly around him. Dipper, North Star. Okay, fence that way, row beyond, and Caesar's ghost, a bull. He cleared the fence with inches to spare, a few feet ahead of the bull. Lazarus was moving so fast that his speed made necessary another rolling landing. He wound up in the middle of a rutted dirt road while reflecting that many more of that sort would not improve his appearance.